At the beginning of a year, it is well to think of how we can serve God better. And that should be every believer's goal for this year. How can I please God in a better way? Well, Scripture gives us a number of suggestions, if not commands, in how we serve. And I'd like to take us through some of those statements today. The first one is in Psalm 100, one of the very familiar portions of the Old Testament, but one that has a profound spiritual meaning. How can we serve God acceptably? Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Now, that is a grand challenge. I have been in churches where the music would make you cry. Really, as somber and doleful as any that could be heard. And that is uncalled for. We serve a God of joy. In His presence there is fullness of joy forevermore. That's what Scripture tells us. So don't for one moment think that heaven is a sad place. It is a place filled with joy and celebration. The people who are there are glad to be there, rejoicing in a God who is joyous Himself and imparts joy to His people. And that is something we need to learn here. Come before His presence with singing. What a wonderful way of doing it. Most Christians come with prayer petitions, and sometimes sad ones. But that is not appropriate. Come before His presence with celebration. And yes, we may have burdens to bring before the Lord, too. Matters that have made us sad. But His presence is not sad. His presence is joyous. And we need to come praising Him, celebrating Him, and with joy, reminding ourselves how much we have to be thankful for in Him. Now, in verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. That is one way of increasing our joy. Start counting your blessings. Name the things that God has done for you, the answers to prayer, the unexpected blessings that have come your way. This is a way of cheering up any believer, and we need to remind ourselves of this. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. Now, what if we had a God that was not good? One who was a stern taskmaster? That would be a frightening thing, for we have come far short. But God is good. He loves to extend His goodness to His people. He loves to take His people and cheer them up with His goodness. And that should cause rivers of joy to flow out of our hearts. Now, in addition to serving with gladness, Deuteronomy chapter 10 tells us another method of serving the Lord. In Deuteronomy 10:12, Moses addresses his people and says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear, that is, reverence the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Ah, here is a wonderful aspect of our service for God. It must not be half-hearted. It must not be part-time. Service that the Lord delights in is service that comes from a heart flowing over with gratitude toward who He is and what He has done and how He is upholding His people, and hence, with all the heart, with all the soul, with all that is within us, we need to serve God. That's what He looks for. Too many people are in, quote, Christian work with a divided interest. They're doing some things for the Lord, and they're doing a lot for themselves, too. And sometimes there's no doubt at all who's first. It isn't the Lord. That's a sad way of serving God. We need that wholehearted devotion to Him, serving the Lord with everything that is within us. desiring to please him above all things. That's plainly what Moses is talking about here. And he is touched upon a sore spot for many believers. They're proportioning their service and praise, and it's a little bit for the Lord and a whole lot for this, and a little bit more for the Lord and a lot for this. And we must recognize the Lord knows all that. He sees what's going on. He is not pleased with such an arrangement. We need to serve the Lord with all we are, all we have. A celebration of his greatness. That is what he is looking for. And he is greatly pleased when he sees it. It's interesting that in this context, dropping down to verse 18, speaking about the Lord, he doth execute judgment for the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Well, that tells about God's care for the unfortunate, the fatherless, the widows. He loves these people and extends grace and help to them. Now, if that's the case, verse 19, love ye the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. If God is like that, then we need to be like that. We need to be searching out the unfortunate, those who are going through difficult times, and especially love them, manifest to them that love. It's important for us to reflect the kind of love that God has for us. For in his eyes, we are the unfortunate. We are the ones who are miserable, and he loves us. So we should let that love spill over into those around us. Our love for others should be like God's love for us. It's also significant that Psalm 2:11 says, serve the Lord with fear. Now, that's not slavish fear. He's not talking about terror, but awe, reverence. It's very important for us to reverence God for who he is. There's one thing that disturbs me about the so-called new evangelical movement. It is the flippant way in which they often refer to God. It's a lack of reverence for the person of God. And this distresses me more than their doctrine. God is somehow being lowered in their estimate to someone we can count on. The man upstairs who's looking out for us. It's an irreverent way of thinking about God, which is very harmful to the spiritual life. But with awe and reverence, we praise the Lord and we serve the Lord. This is what he looks for in the heart of the believer, true reverence of his person. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 16, there is an interesting reference that we need to think about. It is not something that Daniel planned. The king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said to Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now that's a very interesting declaration. Whom thou servest continually. Now here's the king of a country who regarded Daniel as one of his most trusted counselors and advisors, who was very much aware that Daniel was constantly serving his God. Daniel was not a part-time servant of God. It got him in trouble with the world. He was bound for the lion's den, which is an intimidating thought. But it did not intimidate Daniel, because he was serving his God all the time. And if it meant facing the lions, he was quite prepared. Now, friends, that was not lost on a pagan king. He saw the character of Daniel, his devotion to a cause, and he understood very clearly that Daniel's God was first. He may have wished to be first in his service himself, but he recognized what was going on. And yes, he had his own God, but he was well aware he didn't serve that God that way. Nor did anybody else he knew. But Daniel did. Now that was a tremendous testimony in a pagan court. Everyone could see that Daniel served his God. And everything was brought in submission to the will of his God. And he also served the king. He was the most trusted counselor of the king. But the king was not first. And everyone understood that. Now, friends, that's a testimony that God prizes very highly. Too many Christians serve God secretly, quietly, but in public they kind of blend into the atmosphere. They're just not there. If there's a question that arises, they're carefully hidden in the back somewhere. But Daniel was not like that. He stood for God and took the consequences, whatever they were. God supported him in that. And guess what? The lions couldn't eat him. Now, friends, we need to absorb that. When you stand for God, when you are on his side, God sees to it that all those you fear cannot harm you the way they would. The presence of God is a powerful protection. And we need to recognize when we stand for him, we do not stand alone. Never do you stand alone when you're standing for God. Always he is with you. Daniel knew that, and it gave him great courage. And we need to emulate that kind of courage. We should be on God's side, standing for him, whatever the consequences. If people don't like that, all right, that's their business. But our business is to put God first. That's why we're here. We're not here to have fun. We're not here to make money. We're not here for any lesser reason. We're here to serve God. And while people understand that, they respect it. There's tremendous respect in the king's words. He knows he's in second place. Boy, Daniel served his God without any question, with no doubt at all. And that is a testimony we all need to have. In verse 28, the text says, "So, this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius." Yes, he did. He stood for God. He took the consequences. He could not be turned aside. And he prospered in the reign of a pagan king. In the midst of a pagan court, he kept the faith. He lived for God and he prospered. That's the testimony of what God can do to a faithful witness. God can arrange it so that things work out well anyway, in the face of opposition and all who oppose. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul speaks to the believers in Rome, and in verse 18, he says, "Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness," literally slaves of righteousness. Now, that is important for us to understand in the life of the Apostle Paul. He was writing to a mixed congregation in Rome. Some of them were part of the Roman government. Some of them belonged in Caesar's household. But he didn't trim his message in order to please those people. He was writing for God. And his message touched the hearts of all that were in Rome. They understood what he was going through. In verse 22, Paul says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." Yes, in the midst of a difficult situation where believers in Rome had to somehow get along with the Roman government, somehow had to be good citizens. Sometimes that's a difficulty in any land. In the heart of Rome, it was a special difficulty. Paul knew all of that, but he understood what had happened. The Roman believers had received from God the forgiveness of sin. God had made them new creatures in Christ. Now they had a new motive power within, a new source of strength within, because they were on God's side, and they could stand for God now. They weren't going to hide. They belonged to the Lord Jesus. And everybody knew where to find them. They were in church. The Roman authorities knew where they were. That may have been dangerous, but it was triumphant. They were on God's side, and everybody knew it. Paul is commending that kind of courage. You have your fruit unto holiness, being set apart for God. That's what holiness is all about. It's not being super pious. It's not drooling religious ideas all the time. No, it is being set apart for God, living for Him in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. God knows the heart, and He can defend the believer. He can make His testimony count. We must remember that. The next verse says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." All the temptations to compromise, all the distractions that lead away from Christ, you know, the end of all those is death. You're going down a slippery slope that gets worse and steeper all the time. But the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gracious gift that He gives. And He tells us now, this is the way. Walk ye in it. There is our testimony. Are we going to walk in it, or are we going to travel toward the world? That's our choice. And we're accountable for that choice. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, "By love, serve one another." Galatians 5:13. By love, serve one another. Now that's a marvelous thought. Serving others can be a grudging thing. When you have to do what other people want, not what you want, there's something automatically that slows you down. Just you kind of tend to creep along going that way. But now, Paul raises Christian service to a much, much higher level by his statement. By love, serve one another. When you love someone, it's not hard to serve them. When you really have their best interests at heart, it is not hard to serve them. But if you don't love them, then it's grudging work. It's a burden. It's a problem. But love makes that relationship very easy. And we need to recognize, friends, that in a church congregation like this, the love that bonds us together makes it easy for us to serve one another. We're not here just to get our own way. We're not here just to do our own thing. We're here to please God. Well, so is our neighbor. Everyone who is born again has that as his ultimate goal. We're here to please Him. And if that's the case, then we can serve one another well, recognizing that serving one another is one way of serving God, pleasing Him. And so Paul is giving us a secret here about how to make service for others easy. Recognizing that it is the relationship with God that makes all service possible. Without Him, we are not going to serve. We are going to flounder around, ultimately trying to serve ourselves and failing. But when God is supreme and we are seeking to please Him, then the service is possible and pleasant. In verse 14, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love is the way to serve. If you are serving someone and you don't like them at all, it's drudgery. It's something that you find hard to do. But if you love that person, then the service takes on a completely different aspect. It's a pleasure. Because you love that person. Now, when we love God, that presents Christian service in a completely different attitude. It's not something we have to do, something that we drag our feet toward. No, if we love God, then we're looking for opportunities. We're looking for ways to manifest our love and pleasure in Him. And that's a wonderful way to serve, to think of pleasing God, to think of doing things that would rejoice Him. That is well worth our interest. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, Paul says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance," or self-control. Against such there is no law. No law can cause you to manifest these things. This has to come from inside. This comes from the heart. And it is the presence of the Spirit of God within that produces that kind of fruit. You can't copy that. You can't counterfeit that. It's something that God has to produce inside. Fruit is not manufactured. You don't go into a workshop and make fruit. Fruit has to be grown in a field. Fruit comes because of the life that is in the process. And that is where the love comes from. A love is not something you crank out. It's a product of the life that is flowing through us. The life of God. The presence of the Lord Jesus. There's fruit in the life because He's there. And He's producing fruit through the believer. This is something for us to understand very clearly. Because anyone who decides he's going to just be a loving person, you know, grit his teeth and do it, it doesn't come out that way at all. It's drudgery. But when the Spirit of God is within, and He is provoking the love for God and the love for the brother, when He is producing inside the spirit of thankfulness, the desire to please God, to be a blessing to others, then He's producing something that is supernatural. It's just like the life of a plant. If you cut a plant off and stick it in a vase somewhere, you know, the days are numbered. But if the plant is rooted in the ground and constantly drawing strength from the ground, well, yes, the flowers keep coming. It's wonderful. How does it do that? Internal strength. That's exactly where we're coming from. If there is no internal strength there, our service is very limited. We get tired in a hurry and fold up. But if the strength is there, just coming out like an artesian well, just constantly flowing, then it's easy. Because He's there, and His love and His presence is making the work pleasant. We must learn how to serve as the Lord tells us. He must direct our service. In Hebrews chapter 12, dropping down to verse 28, the writer says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And this word, "yet once more," signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now here is the motive power, the internal source of our service. We must recognize that God must accomplish Christian work through us. It's not something that we can do just because it's our task. We fail. We fail to do it right. We do things that don't come off the way we expected. We're defeated in it. But when that grace of God is within, a power that is infinite, and that grace of God inside causes you to reach out toward others, to help them as God is helping you, then it becomes powerful service that God Himself accomplishes. And that's why He says we serve God acceptably, with reverence, awe, worship, and godly fear. Fear is not terror. It is the reverence for God that all of us should live in and walk by. Now, friends, service for the Lord is the highest privilege we could have in this world. But oftentimes we look at it as something extraordinary. But God's grace is not an extraordinary thing. It's how He deals with us every day. It's what He imparts to us through His Spirit constantly. And when we serve, we're not gritting our teeth and cranking ourselves up to accomplish something by our own strength. If we're doing it that way, it'll be a total disaster. But we are instead the branch of the tree. And the branch is drawing the strength from the tree constantly. It flows in all the time, day and night. And so, yes, the branch bears fruit. It's not waving in the breeze, trying to do it. It's just drawing the strength. And the strength keeps coming in. And the fruit forms. This is the Christian life, friends. Too many Christians feel the Christian life is gritting their teeth and plunging in to do great things by their own strength. And that's a catastrophe. Serving God has to be constantly in His presence, drawing His strength, letting Him do the work through you, asking Him for grace, wisdom, guidance. It all comes from Him. It's the grace that is nonstop. It keeps flowing in, and the service keeps flowing out. Friends, service for the Lord is not something exceptional. It is not something that has to be done as a catastrophic struggle. It's something that is done naturally, just like a plant bears fruit. It's something that we can do by His grace, through His strength, by the presence of His Spirit within us. It's done because of Him, and through Him, and for Him. And friends, there's one more thought. Service for the Lord will never stop. The grace and strength of the Lord will never come to an end. When you come to the end of your life here, it's just a change from one realm to another. The service is going to go on because the grace and the strength and the blessing will go on. How do we know that? Revelation chapter 22. When John saw the throne of God in heaven and saw the magnificent presence of God shining with that blinding glory, he said, Revelation 22:3, His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. That's our destiny, friends. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that's where you are going. You are going to that place where He is, where His servants serve Him. That is what they're doing. That is what is going on for ages. That is what will go on for ages after you get there. They shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. No barriers, no gulf, The presence of God is yours. His countenance shines upon you. Yes. And His name, His character, shall be stamped upon your visage. You are His servant. You are His forever. And the service will never stop. Friends, service for the Lord is the highest category that we can aim for. The door is open for every believer. He wants you to serve Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, have you settled in your heart what you're working for in this life? Have you settled whether you are going to serve God or whether you're going to serve something less, whatever that might be? This is a good time to weigh that very carefully. If you are going to serve anything other than God, you are going to watch it crumble into dust and disappear with this life. If you are going to serve God, you're going to have the privilege of serving Him forever, in His presence, with His approval, with His strength and glory resting upon you. Now is a good time to choose wisely. O Lord, help us to serve Thee from the heart. Help us to recognize who Thou art, how great Thou art, and what a privilege it is to serve the Lord of the universe. Help us that we may be good servants, walking humbly with Thee, seeking to accomplish Thy purpose, serving Thee from the heart. And Lord, grant indeed that we may continue serving Thee forever and forever, for Jesus' sake. Amen.